It's Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up on the show, we'll meet a captain of the Madeline Island Ferry. He'll talk about his work in our Hidden Wisconsin segment.
But first, let's take a look at some activity out of the state. Joint Finance Committee this week made tweaks to the governor's estate recovery program.
It's a program that was expanded in the state budget, but members of the Joint Finance Committee raised concerns about the plan.
Here to help us sift through the changes and what this thing is Jason Stein, Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's co-author of More Than They Bargained For, Scott Walker, Unions and the Fight for Wisconsin. Jason, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, when we heard this news story here, we thought this needs a little more detangling, I think, to figure out what's going on. First of all, what is the estate recovery program?
I mean, this is something that the state has had for a period of time, prior to the Walker administration, that helps them recover the money that taxpayers pay, some of it, to put elderly people who can no longer care for themselves into nursing homes or give other long-term care. And what the Walker administration did essentially was to expand under state law the ability of government to go and recover those funds from the families of people who have been put into nursing home care under Medicaid.
And so Medicaid is paying for this long-term care. The idea is these families, in some cases, have assets that they could have been using instead of Medicaid. Is that what the concern is and why we have this law?
Right. So, correct. The state and federal taxpayers pay for long-term care for people in nursing homes through Medicaid. Now, obviously, those people, to qualify for Medicaid, you already need to be deemed needy by the rules that govern that program. But nevertheless, there can be assets that a couple or an individual can have and retain when they go into the nursing home. And one example is a situation where you have a spouse who goes into a nursing home, passes away. You have the remaining husband or wife who, continues to live for a period of time and then may also pass away and then leaves an estate. And so a lot of these rules look at, well, what rules come into play when that estate is divvied up and they decide, does the government get it? Do the heirs of the couple get it? Those are the kinds of questions that are being dealt with.
So it's not the case that, as you mentioned, when the first spouse in long-term care passes away, they go to the widow or widower and take the house away. That's not the goal of the program?
Right, right.
That would be unpopular, I think.
Right, right. I mean, it should be clear that the surviving widow or widower would still have some ability, if they had not gone into a nursing home themselves, could still have some ability to keep some assets. But it is worth noting that if they remarry and then pass away, it may affect what their new husband and wife are able to retain in terms of assets and what might go to the state government.
And it also would affect what children would inherit in this instance.
Certainly,
right?
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggie, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the two edges of this are, we do have this program at the state level that does give people the reassurance that their parents or grandparents are being, taken care of, even if their relatives are unable to do it. But the other side of that is that, yes, I mean, for, say, a family, a farmer and goes into a nursing home and perhaps a son who's worked with him for his entire life may be hoping to inherit or even purchase the farm and continue to earn his or her livelihood from that property. And, these new rules could certainly affect situations like that.
That's been part of the criticism that it might break up a farm or other small business
Right. I mean, that would certainly be one of them. And that has been a criticism that has been leveled at it. The response has been that, given the rising cost of health care given and long-term care, given the fact that we will have more people needing that as the baby boomers age, the response is that if people have assets, have a means to pay for all or some of their care, that they need to be doing that.
And this has been in the news this week. As you mentioned, the program's been around for a while. They're tweaking it related to this marital property issue. Was this a really significant change, or is this a fine print sort of change, but that still would have gotten in the way?
Sure. The way this worked is the existing program to recover assets was changed by the state budget that passed at the end of June, and that was your big change. But lawmakers required the Walker administration to come back, and before those changes were implemented, they're already part of state law, but before they're implemented, to get the go-ahead from the legislature's budget committee. The committee largely gave that go-ahead yesterday while making some tweaks. One of the things that is really unusual is certain parts of the law yesterday, the budget committee said would not be implemented, that the Walker administration could not implement them. But those areas, those statutes remain on the books. So you have this odd situation in which the laws cannot be enforced by the Walker administration or implemented by the Walker administration, but there are still the laws present. So there's a question then of what does that mean to, you know, private entities like banks and trusts and entities like that that help people who are, you know, transferring assets from one generation to another. What does that mean for them? Are they obligated to still follow the law, even though the state itself cannot? It's an unusual situation.
It's a twilight zone for a state
plan. It's a legal limbo. It certainly is.
And when is this something that when it's fully implemented, it means, okay, starting now and on into the future, this is in effect? Or is it somehow retroactive to people who would have applied to even before the law was passed? Or is that clear at this point?
I want to be careful here, Rob, because I just want to—I mean, I really should emphasize that if anyone has a specific situation that they need to look at, that probably the best thing for them to do is going to be, you know, seeking, you know, to reach out to both public agencies as well as private legal counsel that can help them, because these things are so complicated. You know, and that's probably where I had better leave that one.
Sure, sure. So this was not without controversy. Mostly Republicans in favor of these changes, mostly Democrats opposed. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Although it's important to note that there were two Republicans who voted against moving forward with this change. It was Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls and Senator Mary Lozich from New Berlin. And they both had concerns that what was passed by the budget committee yesterday still went too far, or that there were too many unanswered questions about it. So, you know, it would not be a huge surprise if the legislature comes back and revisits this, because there are some lawmakers on both sides of the aisle who are unhappy with it right now. And there are also, you know, some pretty significant state associations like the State Bankers Association that has voiced some very serious concerns about how this will play out for them, how much it will cost to, you know, implement the changes, and whether or not there's sufficient, the law is clear enough to allow them to do that.
Moving ahead, joint finance signed off on it. Does that mean, is that the go-ahead the Walker administration needs, or is this a thing where it goes through the committee and now the whole legislature has to pass it again, more or less?
No, I mean, it's certain. No, they can. The Walker administration can move forward with those parts of it that the finance committee approved yesterday. So, you know, the majority of the changes, to my understanding, will move forward. But you know, I think both those changes, as well as the things that weren't approved yesterday, could be revisited, you know, in the coming months by lawmakers who want to see if they can improve the product.
Jason, thanks so much for helping us sort that out.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That's Jason Stein, Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Coming up, it's the latest installment of our Hidden Wisconsin series. Meet a man who keeps the ferries running in Bayfield.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.